and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Well, welcome again to God's Word is Truth, and as we have been dealing with the Heidelberg Catechism, which is very instructive, very comforting, just chock full of all kinds of doctrinal issues and how it deals with every aspect and area of the Christian life in its main and plain things, and salvation, and how we are to look to the Savior Jesus Christ, not only to be justified, but also in the life of the sanctified believer who is being sanctified, being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. The writer of the Hebrews says that we are to be those who are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And as we have been dealing with question number two, as it reads, how many things are necessary for you to know that in this comfort you may live and die happily? The answer is given three things. First, the greatness of my sin and misery. And what we want to start dealing with here this morning is the second portion of, or the second thing, as the Catechism gives it, is how I'm redeemed from all of my sin and misery. Now, what do you think about when you think about redemption? Being redeemed. What imagery comes to your mind? Because the scripture is full of that, of redemption. And for the purpose of our understanding, even as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, and he wrote to the believers that were alive in that day, and he told them that the Israelites in the wilderness who rose up to eat and drink and to play and to suit their fancy and to do their own thing. Then they sat down to eat and they were desiring to go their own way. And Moses was up on the mountain and he was receiving the Ten Commandments. And they were down there building an idol, building an image to worship. They wanted to worship God in this way. And the things that are given there, about being purchased and bought back, Paul says that these things happen to them as an example to us. So they're examples that are given. The rock that followed them in the wilderness, which Moses struck the rock and it brought forth water. And Paul says that rock was Christ. They all passed through the cloud. They all drank of the same water. They all ate the same meat. And that meat was Christ. The manna was representative of Jesus Christ. And so let me ask you that question then. When you speak about being redeemed, starting with the book of Genesis, because it's weaved all the way through the scriptures, these imageries, these foreshadows, these types that are given, where do we see that first?
We see it in, well, we see it in Genesis 3 first. That's where the promise is given to Adam and Eve that a Savior will come.
Right. And how about a little bit further on in Genesis, what is a great example of being redeemed? Our father, Abraham. And what do we have there with Abraham? With Abraham, how he took Isaac and he put him on the altar.
Right.
And what do we see there with Isaac being taken off of the altar?
We see a substitute.
And if Abraham would have sacrificed Isaac, he'd have been a dead sacrifice. And God doesn't call us as believers to be dead sacrifices. He calls us to be a living sacrifice. And Abraham knew that God must keep his promise. Abraham knew that God cannot lie. And I can't help but think there is some part of Abraham that was waiting to see a resurrection, because the promise was coming through Isaac, and so he could not die.
And Hebrews alludes to that.
He
as
does,
well.
And he received it back in a figurative sense.
Yes.
Because in Abraham's mind, he was as good as dead. So you find an imagery there of a substitution. But when we start talking about redemption, the Greek term is lutron, this term that means to purchase or to buy back, to redeem. And we find that with the life of Joseph. Joseph was purchased. He was sold into slavery. He was put on the slave block. So when he came into Egypt, in Egypt is a picture of what?
Sin.
Sin, bondage. That's where the Israelites were redeemed from Egypt. And they were brought out of Egypt collectively. Well, speaking simply of Joseph, he was sold into slavery. He's there on the slave block, and he's purchased by the Potiphar. Now, when Potiphar purchases him, he brings him into his own home, and everything that Joseph needs is taken care of by the Potiphar. And he had no rights of his own. He was simply the property of another. Now, when the scriptures talk about us, it speaks of us. I mean, the Greek term a servant or bond servant, that's a toning down in the English language. The doulos, it speaks of, it means a slave. It doesn't simply mean a servant. Now, we are servants of Jesus Christ. We do serve him, but we're slaves. We were given over to slavery to sin. We were slaves of Satan. And we were purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. We were bought by his precious blood to become his own. Now, the justice that was satisfied, you didn't pay a ransom price to Satan. That's an ancient heresy. But he paid it to his Father and with his precious blood. And Peter says in this way, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is our redemption as Jesus Christ. We're redeemed from all of our sin and misery. And so what it means to be redeemed from all of our sin and misery is that the punishment for all of our sins were laid on Christ. And so you bear them no more. And that is our position now in Jesus Christ. Positionally, we are in him and we are accepted by the Father. We are justified, adopted. We are in union with Jesus Christ. We are called the children of the living God. That is our status now before the true and living God. Practically, things are becoming new for us. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are becoming new. We're putting off the old desires and disposition and habits more and more, and we're putting on the new things in our life always more and more. And why Paul says in Romans 8 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that even though I still sin, I'm not condemned for my sin because I've been redeemed from all of my sin by Jesus Christ. What did Jesus cry out on the cross?
My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
And why did he cry out that he was forsaken? Did he just feel forsaken?
No, he was actually physically bearing all our sin and punishment at that time.
And it was spiritually in his soul, he was taking upon our sins, the punishment for our sins. But was he a sinner?
No.
No. Even as Peter said, he was the spotless lamb, the lamb without blemish. In the Old Covenant, that was the lamb that they were to bring forward. Now you see the imagery again. Why do I have to bring? Let's give God the crippled ones, the spotted ones, the ones that nobody wants. Let's offer those things, and they did resolve to doing that. And the Lord rebuked them for their offerings. Their offerings were a stench in the nostrils of God, because it's exactly what they ended up doing, is giving God their junk.
And the Lord says, go offer that to your governor. And he accepts it. You won't do that to your governor. And I find it interesting. How do we present ourselves before the Lord? How do we come in to worship on the Lord's Day? How do we dress? How do we talk? How do we act? I mean, would you act that way? The president of the college calls you up. Dan, why don't you come over for dinner? How'd you come?
Tie and sport coat.
But we come to dine with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it's casual time. Something's not right here. What is it? What are we losing focus of? And so, you know, we need to remember that we have been purchased by Jesus Christ from all of our sin and misery to be His. And if that's the case, how are you going to live?
As if I'm not my own.
And how are you going to demonstrate that? How will you demonstrate that you're not your own?
By living a life thankful to God for my redemption.
Well, is that just thankful because, you know, you get a good paycheck now and then from these your clients, or, you know, you have money in the bank, or just thankful for those things?
No, you should be thankful for whatever the Lord gives you, whether it's good things or what we consider bad things.
How are you thankful for the food that you eat?
Through prayer.
Yeah, it's so simple, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul says, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. How do I do it to the glory of God? I give God thanks. Because if you read Romans 1, you find out this is exactly what the unbeliever doesn't do. He does not give God thanks. The believer is one who desires to walk in thankfulness. This is simply a result, isn't it, of our being redeemed, brought into the household, and now we are like, as the Apostle John in 1 John 3, you know, behold, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the children of the living God. It ought to blow our mind. And why doesn't it?
I think we often just think that it's by our hand that we're fed. I mean, we deserve it. We're very much of an entitlement society these days, and think, well, I worked hard, I deserve it, right? It's mine. God didn't give it to me, it was my paycheck that bought this. But we need to recognize the Bible is pretty clear. It's by His hand that we're fed. He's the one that gave us that job in the first place.
So we often have a cultural conformity, and we want to bring that upon the Scriptures. And often what you have with many people in the church today is not the biblical Jesus. We have a cultural Jesus. We have a Jesus that is formed and fashioned after the culture, which is idolatry. Because you are to embrace the Jesus who declares Himself in His Word, not the Jesus of your imagination. And that's important for us to understand as those who are redeemed by His precious blood, that we are to worship Him in no other way than He has commanded us in His Word. God is not a wax nose. You don't bend Him and shape Him the way that you want. He is who He declares Himself to be. And that's how we are to worship Him. And so, as we end this program this morning, be thankful. Be a person who walks in thankfulness as a result of the great redemption which Christ has purchased you from all your sin and misery. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccus.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.